We started last week talking about the house of miracles. The house of miracles. And just to kind of reset the table a little bit so that you will know what we're talking about and what we're preaching about. I really believe with all of my heart that the church is God's plan to save the world. I'm not squabbling about that. Jesus is going to save the world, but he uses the church. He uses the strength of the church. And so the church, really, this place that is the tabernacle, that is the house of God's glory, it is really the closest to heaven that we can get here on the earth. Not talking about the four walls necessarily, but the church, the people that make up the church, being in relationship with people, being in fellowship, being in communion with people. That is a picture of what heaven is going to be like. I love the church. And as I said last week, I believe we need a powerful church because the church is the hope of the world. The church cannot be the world. The church has to come out and be separate from the world. That means our attitudes, our reactions, our responses have to be unique from that of the world because the world, the church is the hope of the world and the world needs a powerful church. But let me just say this today. I don't just mean the church all over the world. I'm talking about the local church. That is this church. Talking about this church, not someone else's church. I say it often. I'm not responsible for anyone else's church. I'm going to be judged and on how I lead this church, the church that God has called me to. I'm not talking about what TV preachers say or what internet or viral clip churches. You can go on Instagram and find church 59 seconds at a time. It's all up and down your feed. You can hear something that tickles your ears or hear something that you agree with. All of that. It's well and good. I follow them. I see them. I understand exactly the appetizer, if you will. But in order to live the life that God has called you to live, I believe you need to be connected to a local church. I don't believe my church is 59 seconds at a time on social media. I don't believe that my church is just a little bit of this live stream and a little bit of that live stream and a few minutes of that online. I believe I need to be connected to a local church. Why? Because the church really is a house of miracles. And I said last week, and I repeat again this week, that there are things available to those who are of the house of God that are not available to those who are not. People whose heart is here. That may be online for you right now. That may be in person for you right now. But people whose heart is here, there are blessings and benefits and strength that is available because you are connected to the house of God. So last Sunday, we talked about the miracle of hope. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to go back and watch the archive of that message. You can find that on YouTube or scroll down on Facebook and you'll see it there. You can listen to our podcast if you want to just hear the words only, the miracle of hope. But today I want to talk to you about the miracle of a place. The miracle of a place. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24, 5, and 6 says, there are four things on earth that are small, yet they are unusually wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags or the rocks. How many have ever heard of a hyrax before? Anyone? I see some hands. You may not have heard that term. They're also referred to as rock rabbits. I think we have some pictures so you'll know what one of these look like. Yeah, look like some of your kids up there. Family portrait. They're cute little guys. They're interesting, and I want to talk to you a little bit about these rock rabbits that live among the crags. They make their home in the rocks. They're tiny. They're furry animals. They're native to Africa and to the Middle East. They're about 10 pounds. They live in these colonies, and they are sociable creatures, much like rabbits you may have as pets, or that we had one for a little while that would just hop around out here. I would see it almost every day, and he would just stop and look, and I felt like we were communicating on some level, but I never could catch him. I don't know where he is now, but they're sociable little creatures, and the writer of Proverbs says they aren't powerful. They're not powerful creatures. That means they are feeble. They are defenseless. They really cannot fight. But their strength comes not from what they have, but from where they live. Their strength comes not from what they have, but from where they live. That means there are no claws, there are no fangs, there is no significant bite to speak of. Their only defense mechanism is where they spend their lives, in the rocks. Because predators, their enemies, cannot navigate the rock formation. So the hyrax home, the rock rabbit's home, compensates for their weakness and provides safety. So what was the wise man trying to teach us when he said there are four things that are small, but they are unusually wise? And then tells us about these hyraxes that they're defenseless for the most part. They're not going to bite your, they're not going to bite you. They're not going to run away. They just live among the rocks. They are wise, and they make sure that they remain in a home, in a place of safety. So what does that teach us? It teaches us today that we should not deny our weaknesses. We should not deny the areas of our lives that we know we are susceptible, that we know we are fair game, the areas that we know that we are weak in. In fact, we ought to have full disclosure, and we should be completely self-aware of where we are, and instead, we should do something to compensate for our weaknesses. Because where I am weak, I have the opportunity to tap into a source of strength. Just give me a moment. I'm going to work this out today. I feel God in this room. We have a ministry here called Church Champs. It's a ministry of special needs. We have a number of special needs kids who have attended our church over the last couple of years, and not only did we make sure that there was a sensory room and made sure that that things worked for our church champs, our special needs kids, to be a part of our church kids ministry, we also trained church buddies. So every church champ, every special needs kid has a buddy that is assigned to them on that particular Sunday, and they greet them when they come through the door, and they spend the rest of the Sunday service with that chant. Everybody spends the entire Sunday with that chant. They make sure they have what they need. They make sure that they don't get themselves lost. They make sure that if they're having an overwhelmed, difficult moment, that they just take care of them and see to their need. We have these church buddies that are there to assist and to help. Hear me. Why wouldn't we have that in life for our marriages, for our finances? Why would we have help for our weaknesses? The reality is many of us in this room that are dealing with difficulties, challenges, or struggle in our lives, we're doing it by ourselves. We don't want anybody to know. We dress it up on Sunday, and we paint over it on Sunday, and we smile our way through it, and we don't want anybody to know that we're dealing with difficulty. We don't want anyone to know that we're going through anything. But hear me, when you are aware, hey, this is a weakness in my life. This is an area of struggle. This is an area in my life that is just not as strong as it should be. So I want to make sure that I get some help in my life. I love Proverbs 30 and 26, the same verse of Scripture, but in the Message translation it says, vulnerable as they are, they manage to arrange for rock solid homes. Hyraxes. Vulnerable as they are, they manage to arrange for rock-solid homes. That's what I love about the church. This is a rock-solid home for us to come together, for us to find strength, for us to find safety. This is a rock-solid home. And I want to give you three reasons today. If you're taking notes, if you want to type these into your phone, write them down somewhere on a piece of paper that you keep in your Bible. I think these are things that are going to help you. But three reasons that the church is a rock-solid home and ultimately is going to help you become rock-solid in your faith. Number one, the church gives me an advantage over my adversary. The church gives me an advantage over my adversary. That's why we need each other. Big facts. We need one another. In spite of divisions, in spite of disagreements, in spite of personality conflicts or challenges, in spite of politics, we need each other. Because your strength can offset my weakness when we are in the church together. It's possible that my strength could offset your weakness. We come together and we link arms with one another, and suddenly the area that you're talented in blesses me. And maybe the area that I'm talented in is a blessing to you. But guess what? If we try to have church today without you, or if we try to have church today without me, it's all going to be a mess, because we need one another. That's why I don't like churches that are all the same color. I don't like churches that are all the same political persuasion. I don't like churches that's just one big room full of group think. We really do need diversity, and we're so bold that we put the word diverse in our mission statement, that we are a diverse church. Don't you know the devil hates that? He hates that in a county that maybe would have a different opinion. He hates that in a state that maybe would have a different opinion. And here we are, the Church Covington, red, yellow, black, white, Republican, Democrat, independent, who cares? We got everybody in the room today, and we're all worshiping God together. Why? Because we need one another. I really do believe that we need one another. And here's the beauty of the church. We bring all of our stuff, our dysfunction, our junk, our mess. We bring it, and then we draw strength from one another. I heard that the Braves had a decent season this last baseball season. I know it was an abrupt season, it was a shortened season, but I really was hoping, because there was a little opportunity for the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves to meet up together in the World Series, and nothing would have made me happier. I don't know what's going on with this thing, but nothing would have made me happier. That would have been a lot of fun to watch the Astros beat the Braves. But anyway, the Braves had a good season. But here's what I know. Not everyone on the team can play the same position. That there is something called utility players. That means that maybe they are a natural shortstop, but they can handle second base. Or maybe they are a first baseman, but they could do a little third if they had to. But for the most part, utility players are very few and far between. And even the best utility player cannot do all of that and pitch 95 miles an hour or catch his own pitched ball. Not one person can do it all. Why? Because one's strength offsets another's weakness. You come with your strength, or you come with your issue. I come with my strength. I come with my issue. And somehow when we get into the same room and we worship as the church, we function as the church, we operate as the church, when we unify our hearts together, God says, now I can bless. And I can bless greatly because you choose one another. Psalm 68 and 6 says that God places the lonely in families. He sets the pioneers free and gives them joy. He sets the lonely in families. It could be today that your natural family is in shambles. It could be today that your earthly family is full of dysfunction or strife or difficulty, or we just don't quite get along with one another. And yet here you are, set down in the midst of a church family that loves you and cares about you and is interested in you and is celebrating and cheering you on. Why? Because God set all of us in this family. No, 1,000 times no. I would not go to a church where I didn't like anybody. I wouldn't go and drive up on the parking lot and just be mad. Oh, I'm going to have to see her again. You got to be kidding. He came to church again today. This is miserable. But hear me. I know you're not ready to hear this, but at least let me tell you the truth one time. If you think everybody else is the problem, I don't even have to finish that, do I? I think the Lord just spoke the rest of that to you, and you got that just like that. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing that to everybody in the room today. He sets the lonely in families. This is God's way. He uses your church family to help you win. That's why we can't be against one another. We can't be busy fighting one another. It's all right to have discussion. It's all right to have disagreement. You're going to have that in family, but you always got to come back together. You always have to process our way through it. Don't bring cancel culture into the church. No. We have to love one another. Let me just give you a disclaimer. This is not a perfect place. It's not a perfect place. Just in my time here, I've dealt with misunderstandings between between people, dealt with disagreements between people, tried to heal and make amends and mediate through, because this is not a perfect place. Sometimes people come here for the wrong reasons. Sometimes there are sharks that are out to snag young believers, or there are disgruntled folk who want attention. Sometimes people leave and they try to tear everything up on their way out. It's all kinds of things that happen in churches because this is not a perfect place. But you knew there was going to be a but, right? It's not a perfect place, but it is a perfect place for imperfect people. It's a perfect place for imperfect people because none of us are perfect. We need God's house. We need God's people. Imperfect as they are, if you want to avoid defeat, you need a place to retreat. Got to have a place you can go. Here's what's unique about those rock rabbits. Fascinating to me. Their feet are like suction cups. That means they can literally crawl up a rock face because they stick to it. They are planted. Wherever they put their feet, wherever they put their paws, they stick to it. It affords protection to them because they can go where predators cannot go. Their little feet can take them higher and higher and higher. But let me just say this. I'm going to be a good pastor and preach some truth to you. If you're tired of the devil nipping at your heels, this is not the time to sit down among the devils and say, well, just nip all you want. One time I can't believe I'm about to tell this, but sometimes when you preach, you just tell stuff. But one time I've only had about, I don't know, a few, Lord have mercy, I'm in it now. But I went, they took me to get a pedicure, and they said, this is going to be a little different. How many men in this room have ever gotten a pedicure? All right, I'll see you back there. Joe Otis, thank you, sir. I'll see you. We're not going anywhere together anytime soon, but y'all worried about this city boy you brought to Covington, but it was unique because when they put my feet in the water, all of a sudden they opened a bag up and they dumped out all these little fish into the bucket. Have y'all ever heard of this? It's not a fetish thing, I promise you. It's not weird. It's the fish eat the dead skin. I know, I've never done it again. I thought it was weird too. Strange, but I wasn't paying, they were, so praise God, feed, fish, feed. But that would be the principle. If you got devils like little fish that are constantly nipping at you, constantly hitting up against you, don't sit down among them. Be like the rock rabbit that says, I'm going to climb up higher. Because the devil can't go higher. That means if you choose to worship when you feel like you're being attacked, if you choose to pray when you feel like you're being attacked, if you choose to intercede when you feel like you're being attacked, eventually you're going to elevate yourself to a place that the devils can't even breathe the same air that you're breathing when you get in heavenly places. Don't sit down among devils, go higher and higher and higher. How high do I have to go? Go high enough that they can no longer reach your feet. That's what the rock rabbit does. His feet just keep taking him higher and higher until he can finally look back over his shoulder and say, nan, nan, a boo, boo, you can't reach me where I am. That's what we need as a church. That's what we need as a people. We need to keep going higher and higher and higher until the devil says, you know what? I got to give up. I can't divide them. I can't make them hate one another. I can't even get them to dislike one another, because every time I throw a wrench in the middle of them people, every time I try to get some division among those people, they just keep on worshiping. They just keep on praising. They just keep on preaching the word. They keep going higher and higher and higher. I came to serve the devil. Notice that we've got a revelation today that we are going higher than we've ever been before. If you believe that, shout yes. They go higher. What does that mean for you and I? Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. I'm not talking today about those who wander in and out when they have nothing better to do. I'm talking to people who are planted, because there is a root system in place. See, but there's weakness. I get it. When my life is casual, when my spiritual life is casual, you can bet there's going to be a casualty somewhere. If I'm casual in my approach to God, there is going to be a casualty in my life. That means somebody's going to die. No, it means my money may die. My marriage may struggle. I may have a wrestling match with my teenagers. I don't know. You got to figure out what's going on in your life and take inventory. But if something is not working, if something is not functioning right, if there is dysfunction, if things are not as smooth as you want them to be in your life, you got to go make sure that you're planted, that you're doing what God has called us to do. Why? Because we want to continue to flourish and bear fruit and remain fresh and green, because those who are planted have a root system. Because when I'm halfway connected to multiple places, that means I am committed nowhere. I'm going to say that again. When I am halfway committed to multiple places, that means I am committed nowhere. I've never seen anything like it. Georgia, you are the anomaly. I've never seen it in 25 plus years of full-time ministry and more than a dozen years pastoring, nearly 15 years pastoring full-time. I've never seen anything like what I've encountered in Georgia. Literally, people that have come to this church that said, "You're going to be my second Sunday pastor." I'm what? This going to be my church on second Sunday. I got a church for first Sunday, and I got a church for third Sunday, but I've been looking for a church for second Sunday. I'm talking about, that's verbatim. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Kristen, no. That's verbatim conversations that I've had. People that are like, "I'm a member of that church, but I like to come to this church." What is that? Why I need someone. If you know, please send me an email, a text message. Come see me. I want to understand what this is. What is it? Is it just indicative of this generation that doesn't want to sign any contract, that doesn't want to put their name on the line, that just does not want to commit? But hear me, the church doesn't work like T-Mobile. It doesn't. I'm not being ugly. Do y'all think I'm being ugly? I'm not being ugly. The church doesn't work like no contract. We're not even making you sign contracts here, but if you're just connected wherever, you're not going to be committed anywhere. You got to be committed. Well, what about first Sunday and what about third? I got second Sunday. All right, I'm going to preach to you second Sunday. And don't get me wrong. Everybody's welcome. Anytime you can get here. But I'm telling you, there's power when you are planted. But what happens if I commit to this church and something better comes along? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get to the end of your life and won't have anybody to preach your funeral. Because you never made a choice. My old pastor said, you got to pick a team and play hard. It's true in life. It's true in business. You got to pick a team and you got to play hard. And if this church isn't everything you want it to be, then help us make it better. Well, you know, this company just isn't what I want it to be. I'm going to go find another company. Eventually, you're going to run out of companies. At some point, you've got to plant and say, let me make where I am better. Instead of standing on the sidelines, throwing my jeers and sneers out at those who are on the field, why don't I get out there and say, hey, let me try throwing the ball. Let me see what I can do in this position. Let me see what kind of contribution I could make to advance the kingdom of God. That's what happens when you are planted. Everybody all right? When my spiritual diet consists of whichever internet preacher I want to listen to this week, I'm not going to be healthy. I'm not going to be healthy. Because you've got to have people in your life that not only can build you, but that can help you. The Bible said that the word was given to us to build us, to reprove us, to rebuke us, to correct us. The word was given to us to help us. But if we're just running from mountaintop to mountaintop and great word to great word and we're never sticking it out, then we're not planted. And not being planted is going to hurt us in the end. Number two. When I'm planted in the church, my me becomes we. When I'm planted in the church, my me becomes we. The redwood trees, they teach us. Maybe you've seen them. I know one of our couples just was recently visiting, and I was so jealous of their pictures as they were posting and the redwood, incredible, tallest trees on earth. Some of them are 2,000 years old. Many of them weigh as much as 500 tons and stand as tall as 350 feet in the air. But hear me, their root system is what keeps them standing. Because there is power in roots. What's interesting to me is that their roots only go 6 to 12 feet deep. A tree that weighs 500 tons and stands 350 feet tall has roots that are only as much as 12 feet deep. That doesn't add up to me. Except when you understand that their roots that are only an inch thick. I'm not talking about massive roots. Some of you mow over bigger roots than the redwoods have, and your tree is still about that tall. The roots are only about an inch thick, but they stretch 50 to 80 feet wide. Stretch out. 6 to 12 feet deep, 50 to 80 feet wide. And as they do, hear me, they intermingle and they get intertwined with other redwood roots. Do you know that there are redwood trees that have been dead for years, but are still standing because their roots are so intertwined with trees that are alive that they keep them standing tall? I love the word. He said, be planted. Get planted. Put roots down. Because when you're planted in the church, you get intertwined and connected with other believers. That's why it's hard to leave, because how do I untangle myself from this? How do I get myself out of this? If I just come and live on the sidelines, if I just always skirt around the edges, then I don't ever have a chance. I don't have to mess with that. That's why I keep my distance, because I don't really know if I want to commit or if I'm going to stay or not. But when I get into small groups and I go to Discover Church and I become a part of team church and I get involved, what happens? I start building relationships and I start serving with others and I begin to live out my purpose with you. That's why I challenge you today to get connected, to get to know other people. No man is an island. It's not good for anybody to be by themselves. You ought to go ahead and just take the risk and get connected. Mingle in among us. Get intertwined among us. Go ahead and plant your feet. Why? Because you will draw strength from those that you are intertwined with. And you will start to flourish and produce. And he said, when you're planted, you will become green with life. Green with life. Psalm 27 and 4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord. I'm almost done. This only do I seek. I'm asking one thing from the Lord. And this is the only thing that I seek. What is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. The word dwell, it really indicates permanence. I'm dwelling, not just for the time being. This is not a stopover place. This is not just a, you know, in case of emergency. This is my place of permanence. And when you decide this is your place of permanence, then every issue is already settled. Because it doesn't matter how great the disagreement. This is my place of permanence, which means I got to work this out. I got to figure this out. I got to get through this. Why? Because my one desire is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. You say, Pastor Darrell, I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's just talking about, you know, just the idea of the house of God. Really? He called us to be a part of a church. That's the theology of the world that I directly contradict and just flatly rebuke, if you want me to be honest with you. We really hound Jesus, but we can't stand the church. We're going to find out how that works out for us. It's not going to be good. You've got to be willing to plug yourself into a church. Good, bad, and ugly. Thank you for the amen, baby. Out of the mouths of babes. So my prayer, my hope, is that when trouble comes along in your life, that there will be those who know you, those who notice, those who sense that something is wrong because you're connected. You're intertwined with those with whom you serve, those that are in your small group. Because there is power in your life when your me becomes we. Back to the rock rabbits for just a moment. Let me tell you one more thing that's interesting about them. They spend most of their time, 95% of their day, resting and sunbathing. Sounds like the life, doesn't it? 95% of their day resting and sunbathing. And what's interesting is that they rest in groups. They call it heaping. They heap onto one another. They literally just pile together all day. Why? Because they're trying to compensate for their poor thermoregulation. Their bodies don't do as well managing hot and cold. So because rock rabbits are not great at staying warm, they are wise. And they know they have to help one another stay warm. So they heap and they climb on top of one another and they all pile in. Everyone helps one another. And that teaches us that we need each other for the purpose of staying on fire for God. I'm not doing this by myself. I'm not a one-man band. I'm not a one-man believer. I want to be in heaps. I want to be in groups. I want to be with my faith family. I want to be connected to you. Why? Because we help one another stay on fire, keeping faith and hope and purpose alive. And that leads me to number three, and where I'll close today. Number three says, we may come to church cold, but I can leave on fire. I may come to church cold. I may come with challenge and difficulty and circumstance raging in my life. I apologize. I don't know what, every now and then we get something in this microphone and we got to pray it out. We come to church cold and we leave on fire. Whether you're showing up in person or you're tuning in online, how many times in my own life, this is my testimony, how many times have I had to drag myself into God's house, but by the time I left, I was full of faith and hope? How many times has that happened to you in bed on Sunday morning? Maybe it's a cold Sunday morning or a rainy Sunday morning. We get plenty of those. Oh, I'm so glad they got that online thing now. This is great. I'm not even brushing my teeth, but hey, y'all, I'm at church. Welcome online. I'm glad you're there. Glad you're with us today. How many times have I pulled covers and said, no, I just don't feel like it today, but then all of a sudden, that old conviction begins to stir. You need to get up and go to church. And I get up, get myself ready and come. And it's always those days when it was hardest to get here that I leave saying, man, that was one of the best services I've been in a long time. So what just happened? The enemy tried to cheat you out of what God wanted to do in your life. The enemy tried to get involved. I came cold, but I left on fire. Sometimes I have to make myself be faithful. Sometimes it doesn't come natural. Sometimes we have to make ourselves join a group because we know we need to do it. Sometimes you have to make yourself serve. You have to choose discipline. Choose obedience. Choose faithfulness. Because there are going to be plenty of times in life that you will not feel like it. Cold. But when you're faithful, when you get in that group, when you serve, it lights your fire again. And all of a sudden, you're heaping. You're joined together. And one Hyrax who's little 10-pound body got cold, he gets up in the middle of that pile where they've been warming. and waiting for someone cold to come in. And all of a sudden, one is making a difference for the other. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another onward. Toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day. What day is that? The last days, the ones I talked about last Sunday. As you see the day approaching. I want you to know you spur me on. You spur me on. Your worship, it fires me up. I've never been a pastor, an evangelist, my 16 plus years of traveling. Never been one of these people that stayed in the office. Y'all know how that works sometimes, you know. Pastor, we just assume he's back there just, you know, in great travail before God. And maybe he is. I'm not being critical, but I've been in churches preaching as a guest. There was one church I was preaching at. That church started at 7 o'clock every night of revival. And it was about 8:30 before the pastor would even arrive onto the campus, into the building. And I've been in there for an hour and a half, and me and about two church mothers. It's just us worshiping our hearts out. All of a sudden, people start coming in. No, I'm not one of these people that hide. And I'm right there on that front row. While this worship team is, I'm on this front row because your worship spurs me on. I hope my worship can build and bless you. Hope it can make a difference in your life. But that's what he's talking about. We're encouraging one another. I'm seeing you worship, and I'm moved by your worship. Maybe you see my worship and you think, you know what, I'm going to lift my hands as high as he's got his today and see if I feel better. All of a sudden, there's a pile and there's Holy Spirit heaping. We came in cold, but we are on fire. This is the church. We support. And we are supported. And my prayer today is that everyone accesses all that God has for you by getting connected. Let me close. Ephesians 1, chapter 5. One more verse of scripture. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You may not know who your real parent is. I don't say that flippantly. Kristen and I pastored a lady who, as a baby, was given up for adoption. Never knew her mother. Never knew until she was married and had been married for several years, and then was expecting her first child. She has two beautiful girls now. But expecting her first child, and she would go to the doctor's appointments and they would ask about her medical history. She had no idea. I don't know. Every answer was, I don't know, I don't know. So it started her on a journey. I've got to find my mother, not because I want to interrupt her life. I want to know something about my history so that I can answer these questions. And an attorney that was in our church helped her find her mom. And what's ironic is that her entire life, she only ever lived as far as 5 miles away from her birth mother. It's an amazing story. Because what's fascinating is she made contact. I don't want to bother you. I'm not interrupting your life. I'm not mad. Listen, I've got a great life and great parents, and I just want to know. But the beautiful thing was, they became friends, developed relationship. And there were many Sundays that lady who just wanted to know would be in church. And there would be her adoptive mom on one row and her birth mom on another row. Everybody worshiping together. You may not know who your real parent is. Or maybe they left you. Maybe they walked out of your life. I had it happen. 5 years old, my father walked out of our lives. I would probably count on one hand, maybe a couple of fingers from this hand, the amount of times that I saw him, and many of those were not pleasant experiences, that I even saw him again before he passed away when I was about to turn 17. I could say I didn't know him. And yet, Paul says God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Because when I didn't know who my daddy was, I mean know him, able to learn from him, have him there to teach me things. God said, I knew it was going to happen. And so I decided in advance to adopt you into my family. And now there's great men in my life. Man, Dennis, where you at, Dennis? He was this morning. Pastor, let me talk to you about your car. I got great men in my life that teach me and show me and mentor. What is that? That's the family of God. And if you're not planted, you're missing it. Would you stand with me across the room today? Deliver that word. You may be in this room today and you're ready to make a decision about your future. You're ready to make a choice about your life. You're ready to say yes to Jesus. You're ready to join the family of God. How do I do that? It's so easy, it's going to blow your mind. You say yes to God. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're all going to say yes to you. We're going to say yes to you. You say yes to God, and we all say, hey, welcome. You're in. Let's go. Let's do life with one another. Get in my small group. Come to Discover Church. Let's have fun. Let's go. Let's serve together. But it all begins with you saying yes. You may be online today and you need to say yes. Maybe you're missing that connection. Maybe you're missing that intermingling, that intertwining of roots helps you stand tall. I want to pray for you today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I pray that you'd help us today, every single one of us today, in person, online, wherever we may be, watching the rebroadcast of this later in the week, wherever we are, you've appointed the right time for us to hear this word today. Because there is the miracle of a place. Your house, your church, there is a place. And I want to be connected to it. I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. So today, Lord, I say yes to you. I say no to the world. I reject the division, the meanness, the ugliness of the world. I say yes to your beautiful family today. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart today. Change my life forever and always. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand clap today for people making that decision? All right, if baptism's getting ready, if our little man's getting ready, let's do that over here. We're going to baptize in just a moment. They're going to lead us in worship for just a moment. If you're in the room today, though, and you prayed that prayer today, on either side of the auditorium, big yes banners, you can't miss them. Grab one of these books. This book will help you. It'll show you some next steps. It'll help you figure out what you need to do and what direction you need to go and how you need to just kind of put one foot in front of the other spiritually. And then next Sunday, we're talking about another miracle. You don't want to miss it. If you're online and you decided to follow Jesus, or you want to know more about this faith family, type the word follow in the chat and we'll get you one of these books, an e-copy, a virtual copy, digital copy of one of these books, and it will bless your life. Amen. Worship team, come on, let's lead today for a moment while we prepare to baptize.